Hi, I'm Mike Holvey, President and CEO of the RAB, and welcome to Radio on Main Street, the podcast all about radio. Back in April, we attended the annual NAB show in Las Vegas. Over a five-day period of time, the convention brought together over 61,000 attendees. A lot of conversation about recruitment, sales, innovation, and, of course, AI. REBC Media Pass CEO Erica Farber and I had the opportunity during the conference to sit down with thought leaders to discuss what they were dealing with in the industry today, what they were seeing tomorrow, and what was intriguing about the future. We want to say thank you to Inco and Bensound for allowing us to record live in their exhibit space every day of the conference, including we did some live stream interviews, which was the first time that RAB produced that content. In the 11th episode of our series, we hear a conversation that Erica had with Greg Strassel, who is the Executive Vice President of Programming at Hubbard Radio. He fell in love with radio as a kid, an experience I very much relate to. Greg shares what it's like working for a company like Hubbard Radio, the importance of taking advantage of the growing toolbox that is available to radio stations these days, as well as the necessity to continue to learn and be curious.
Greg, thank you for stopping by on the last day of the NAB Radio on Main Street. How are your feet holding up?
Great.
It's been quite a few days.
It's been fun watching the step meter on the iPhone, though.
Okay, so what's your high so far?
13,000.
Wow.
But I expected more. I got to maybe top that today.
That's still pretty serious steps. Greg, tell us a little bit about how you got into the business.
I grew up in a town of 8,000 people, wonderful town. It's Mayberry-like town, Tell City, Indiana. And my family, I always remind everyone my story is, you grow up in Indiana, you play basketball, you love basketball, and my stature is not going to support that. So what was the next cool thing to come along? And I got the radio bug from listening to radio stations throughout the country, because when you grow up in a small town and you don't do a lot of vacations, and I think one vacation was to Cincinnati and one was to St. Louis growing up. And so this was your exposure to life in other cities, because those radio stations that you got to listen to, WLS and WAKY Louisville, and they all reflect their cities. And it was like taking a trip to other cities and hearing the excitement going on through that little device called the radio. Mm-hmm. And so that was very appealing. And then I had a chance to work for a family-owned company that's still in business today, Brewer Broadcasting, hired me at 15, after I was knocking on their doors since I was 12. And my first job for them at 12 was I volunteered to carry the MARTI unit around, the 50-pound transmitter at the time, about as heavy as I was. And that got
me in
the
door. I'm going to stop you for a minute, because a lot of people listening and watching this have never even heard of that.
Right. It's like a 50-pound remote transmitter, one-way communication back to the radio station. And, of course, things have changed since then. But
that was
how I kind of knocked on the door.
Well, and now you are seriously one of the leaders in content creation in our industry. So,
well,
how exciting.
There's so much more work to do yet. But thank you. I love this business. I love the opportunities that the more content, the opportunities to create more content, the need to create more content in other media to reflect your core brand. Very exciting to be a programmer today. We changed the name from program director to brand content director years ago, simply because you're doing two things. You're managing a great brand, but you're providing content. You're not scheduling radio shows. You are creating content and challenging your staff to create more content.
You also work for one of the most respected broadcast companies in our industry.
I'm honored to do that, too. And it's nice after being on the other side of joining Hubbard in 2015, the respect that the company has earned over the time, but it's been a family-owned company for three, going on four generations now. And Jenny Hubbard, is third generation, the granddaughter of the founder, and understands it's in her DNA of what serving the community and broadcasting and having fun mm-hmm. along the way and all. I mean, the qualities that she exudes and that she was brought up in within the family, she carries on that tradition with her company. And so we are all lucky to be a part of her broadcast family. And they do treat their broadcast family, their employees, like they are truly part of the Hubbard Radio right. family. And so I was very honored to get that opportunity in 2015. And I would have done it earlier had I known they were interested.
But at the same time, they're very much interested in growing revenue and making sure that the bottom line is successful. They're not, they don't do this to lose money.
Correct.
So because of your experience, you know, how do you balance those two? Because I know it's challenging out there to increase revenue and the pressure on everyone to create more revenue and build that pie.
Yeah. I mean, I've never sold a spot in my life, so I don't understand all the pressure. But I do think that my voice in the company is about reminding everyone the power of the medium. Reminding them that there's a lot of research from Larry Rosen to Fred Jacobs to Nielsen that shows the power and the reach. And we're the top of the funnel mm-hmm. in 2024 to make any campaign successful. So I think my messaging to the troops on the sales side is just reflecting the positives, bringing the research to light. And so I try to help in that way. And then, you know, we have the digital agency 2060 that Hubbard founded probably 10, 12 years ago. And it's doing quite well. And the power of digital advertising and the power of the reach of radio makes for successful campaigns. And I think we're constantly educating advertisers, buyers, about that. You know, when you have a media buyer who's in New York and not really in the car, not using radio to the extent that people in Chicago are, you have to really show them proof mm-hmm. that radio works and radio reaches.
Within your organizations, how do your brand content managers, how do they interact with the sales side of the business?
Well, I think they're all partners. Mm-hmm. The days of
It's a regular connection.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah, our market managers do a terrific job of bridging the two departments, respecting both departments and what they have to do, but bridging them. It's a successful operation when you do that. So I leave it to, you know, some top quality market managers that have been with the company for quite a while.
And within your organization, some of your market managers came from the content side.
Yep.
Not necessarily the sales side.
Right, and that makes for a well-rounded market manager to really understand that side and to learn the sales along the way and trust their directors of sales.
Right.
And, you know, when I think of our top, we have amazing market managers, but Trip Reeb is one who's definitely came from the product side.
Right.
Dan Seaman came from the marketing side.
Yep.
Elizabeth Hama in West Palm came from the, she's worked with Cox and understood the strategic side of both sides of the operation. Mike Frederick has surrounded himself with terrific product people and came from the sales side, but he surrounded himself with top quality product people. And John Kioski in St. Louis has done the same thing mm-hmm. with his team there. And John is a passionate leader for us there.
Right.
And we were lucky enough to bring in Keith Lawless to oversee our Chicago operations.
Uh-huh.
And he comes from the Cox world, and we know that that's high quality, both business and content.
Mm-hmm. So the big theme here is AI. We're hearing a lot about AI. What are you doing within your organization to possibly embrace AI, and what are you thinking?
I think it's a, those two questions there. What are we doing? We're learning. We have an AI team that's responsible for both the radio side and the television side to develop how we're going to proceed and make sure that we aren't, we're doing it carefully.
So that's a corporate investment.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
But I think it's a tool to be used for creativity, and I think that if it, if it's your brain times two, and helping you write, helping you think, I think there's an advantage to that. As far as the voice side and recording imaging and all that, we're not there yet. I think you can still hear the difference between, it's getting better, the technology, where it's going to be hard to determine whether it's an AI voice or it's a real talent, but I can still hear the difference because it's the passion from the broadcast side. And so I think that it's a tool to be used to help us, not to replace us.
Do you have a policy within your organization guiding the teams about what they can and cannot do with AI, or are you keeping it pretty flexible right now?
No, they have to run everything through the AI team and make sure that legally we are doing the right things. So, and more to come. Ask me in a year what we're doing, and I think there'll be.
But through that experience, is there any anything you can share with us who maybe don't have a policy or are thinking about it that you can help us figure out a way to, keep moving forward, but to be careful about how we're implementing it?
Yeah, well, I think I'll be able to answer that more in a year from now, but I think to protect your websites from being scraped and used as much as possible, and protect your content, protect your IP. How we're going to do that, I think the industry is learning. But I do think someone used this last week. AI can be like the calculator. We're no longer doing longhand math, and I believe AI will help us be more efficient and help us solve some problems. But at the end of the day, I'm still so excited. It just draws the light on the power of doing raw radio, of telling real life experiences. And so I think from an air talent standpoint and from a programmer standpoint, exciting times to be different, be human, be raw, tell stories, share lifestyle, life experiences. And I think that part of human survival is about being in your group of friends and staying in touch. And I think radio, as long as radio continues to do that, will help our listeners in their markets. Mm-hmm. But it's being a companion, it's being local, it's living the life with them. We'll do that.
You know, change is difficult. You know, we're all open to change, but for many of us, it's hard to deal with the change, and it's happening so fast. What advice do you have for us about how do we get comfortable with being uncomfortable?
Well, look at you asking that question, because you've been able to do so much with your career. Congratulations, by the way, on your award this morning.
Thank you.
I looked at the awards you picked up in the last 2 years. Hall of Fame, excellence,
okay.
All
that
stuff.
This is about you.
So,
thank
okay,
you.
I know, but I meant to say that earlier at the beginning
that.
Of this. I don't just be open-minded, learn, read, take a course in AI, because I think that, find a course that's not about computer programming, but applications. And so I think now's the time to invest in yourself, to learn more about that, to be able to apply it to making your life better.
Right. That's great advice to do that. Have you any courses you can recommend? Have you done anything recently you thought, wow, that was so cool?
No, but I'm looking at something that just came my way through MIT's offering a course through their Sloan Management Business School and I talked to him a while back, and I said, now tell me, this is not about for computer programmers because that's not what I'm looking for.
Right.
I'm looking for applying it to a business. So
right.
I think there are probably courses like that along the way that you can be a part of in any community and learn. And so I think now is the time to really reinvest in yourself.
Well, as I always like to say, we all need to be curious.
Yes. Yes. And fascinating time. And be, you know, it's nice to see the AI theme and other people try things. I'm learning from experiments of others.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see how it comes. As I don't lose sleep at night wondering what we need to do tomorrow to use AI. I think we'll find it along the way. Mm-hmm. It'll come naturally.
Is there a particular innovation that you're thinking about or looking at that that may change, you know, within Hubbard and how creating content and growing our businesses that you can point to that you're most excited about?
I think the radio station systems are starting to collapse into, instead of 15 systems that you might need, I think that you're seeing it sort of kind of come together where some of it's in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can make for some efficiencies in the business that we need. And so I think that technology is fascinating. That's one thing I've spotted here that I think is a trend we will continue to see.
Mm-hmm. It's certainly getting smaller.
Yeah.
You know, you think about the real estate you used to have to house all of this, and something that took up rooms is you could hold it in your hand.
I know. Exactly. I think that's good from the efficiency standpoint, from an ownership standpoint. I think the need for more data science on some of the things that are being developed, like I saw you at the car panel the other day, the
right.
DTS auto stage, and I've been studying that data, but I don't have time to really understand it. But I think that, you know, as I said in the stage the other day, we're in the first inning of looking at what car data means for both programmers and for sales. But I think it's loaded with opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
That's an application for AI to help sift through all that data. And Joe at DTS, I think he made a comment about they're going through several billion pieces of data, and seemed like every second or whatever throughout the world. Who's going to crunch that data? AI will crunch that data. And we have to teach the AI how, you know, exactly what we're looking for and the use it to our benefit. But I'm excited about what we may learn from that, because I think we need more tools to help sell the effectiveness of our medium and show some shiny objects to the buyers and say, look what radio does.
You know, it's interesting you talk about we need more tools. The toolkit at the station is significantly bigger today than it was.
So is the competition.
So is the competition. But what do you wish sellers would focus most on? Because there is so much. It can be overwhelming. And from a content side, knowing we're all trying to keep the stations healthy, is there something that you would say to a seller that you wish they would think about more or utilize more?
I think the first thing you should be doing is selling the business before you sell your radio stations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that we take for granted sometimes that everyone knows the power of radio, but no, we can't take that for granted, and that's
right.
Changed. So I think the first thing we have to do is just be prepared to sell the power of the industry, the medium, and then get into, you know, our radio stations and our personalities and what they can do as local endorsers, all the digital content we offer to our core audiences who will consume us in other ways. But at the end of the day, I still think the reach is our story and should continue to be the story. But I'm not sure we're telling that story every day. And let's not play defense. Let's play offense.
Mm-hmm.
We should be playing offense. We have these giant signals and a lot of listeners and a lot of cum. And so that would be the first thing I would say.
Hubbard, you own the number one billing radio station in America, WTOP, in Washington, D.C.
Quite lucky to have that in our portfolio stations.
Well.
And Joel Oxley has been the hands on the wheel of that radio station before we owned it, after we bought it, continues to do an amazing job. And what he's had to navigate through over the course of time with this radio station and still come out so strong, hats off to him. He's quite a leader.
It's a phenomenal radio station. Yeah. And again, for those of you who are listening and watching, if you are ever in the Washington, D.C. area, I would absolutely recommend you get a tour of that radio station because it will blow your mind.
Yes.
It's an incredible facility.
It's and the broadcasters at TOP, the reporters, the number of reporters that they have and how he manages that. He manages by delegating, and he does a great job with that, and he trusts his department heads, and he has amazing department heads. So you can't manage a radio station like that if you're going to be a controlling type person. He is absolutely not. He trusts his people. He hires good people and lets them do their job.
You know, we continue to hear ways in which broadcasters are navigating disruption because there's disruption everywhere. Can you share some of the key challenges that you're facing within Hubbard and how you approach that, and has the process changed internally?
I think the economics of programming radio stations with air talent all day long that are super compelling, it's getting difficult. So that's probably the number one challenge, but I know it's a necessity, and we need to continue to nurture more talent and teach them how to do this and find ways to make sure that the economics work. Because I think, as I said earlier, the reason people will be coming back seeking out radio is because of the companionship, the need to survive and see what's going on. And survival is more than just the news. Survival is just like keeping up on top of what's going on and what's happening in their community and all that. So I think that we just have to continue to nurture that. I think if we do a good job with that, everything else will take care of itself. I really believe that. People will seek out the content no matter where it's at, no matter how it's being delivered, if we entertain and keep the companionship going.
Well, Greg, as our time is coming to an end, I always like to ask this question last. Okay. So you are now in charge of our industry. If there is one thing...
Don't leave. Don't retire.
If there's one thing that you would like all of us to do, no matter what the market size is, no matter what size the company we're in, what would that be?
Be an important part of your community. And find your niche. Entertain. Don't stop entertaining. Don't stop informing. I think everything else will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. And as I believe you know, we do a campaign.
And as you can tell, I'm a content guy. So from a sales standpoint, I have no major advice.
I think the same thing applies.
Okay.
You know, we have to listen to our radio stations and be part of the community.
Right.
And our advertisers are a very important part of our community.
Yes.
Very important part.
And they have their competitive pressures too. We need to understand that.
No
their
question.
Business is changing. We're all changing.
Well, and when we go into an advertiser and that person may be at the cash register and trying to keep their doors open, and we go in and quote, try to sell them something, we are pretty much on the bottom of that list. So creating value and understanding their needs and bringing them solutions that help them help them solve a problem, that's what we do.
Absolutely.
And we do it well.
Absolutely. Some of the best partners I work with come in with solutions and come up with ideas and want to know how my business is before they try to sell me something. And so I feel the same way.
Right.
Reciprocate.
If you could just finish this sentence, radio matters because?
Well, I think we're in the moment. We're a community. Our audiences are communities. We need to nurture those communities. But radio is important because of the communities that we bring.
And radio works because?
Because our audience trusts our talent. They are P1s and P2s, to use a programming term. seek us out because they have a bond with our audiences or with our radio stations, and that's powerful. And I think they trust us, and we when we are selling something, we have to obviously believe in it, and I think that they trust us. So,
again, thank you so much for stopping by Radio on Main Street.
A few takeaways from this podcast include the importance of culture at any organization. That is very much at the core of Hubbard Radio's DNA. It feels like a family. Another important takeaway, as Greg so aptly put it, it's important that all of us in radio are prepared to sell the medium first, then our stations and personalities, and definitely play offense and not play defense.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.